Monday, September 25th, 2023. I am Stella Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And as always, I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. It's been a good day for me. Busy morning, but it's been a good day. Whatever platform you are listening, be it live or on the replay, as always, thank you very, very much. Much appreciated. Hey, Frankie, how are you? Welcome. Hey, Brina, welcome, girl. Where are you? Welcome, sir. Welcome. Hey, Blunt. Welcome. Hope you are all doing well. Welcome, Minnesota. Welcome back, my friend. Hello, Coach Kyle. Everyone, welcome. Ellie, Thank you. Oh, boy. Okay, so let's get started. This should be an interesting conversation day. I'm hoping that it is. If a hard word to live with, if I only. So we've all said it. I know I've said it. I said it this weekend. If only, you know. That phrase, does it have more regret if only you are regretting something more? Or does it have more wishfulness, like you wish, you know, not in a negative way, but you know, you kind of daydream, you kind of fantasize, if I only, you know, if I had only gone to the party, I would have, you know, been able to talk to the boy that I had a crush on and talk to the girl that I had a, you know, crush on. If I had only listened to my mother, I wouldn't have married this particular male or female. You know, is it regret or is it more wishing that you would have, but in a positive way, in a positive way? I am good, Ellie. I am doing well. Thank you for asking. You know, so... And what is the difference when you say, if only, or if I only? Is there a difference between only if I had done this, only if I had taken her advice, only if I had gone to the store earlier or sooner? Is that different from if only? Is there a difference between those two phrases? Do they mean something different, or are they the same? And the result is the same. Because I have said only if, in terms of regret. When I think of the times I've said only if, it was more of a regret thing for me. You know, and when I say if only, there is some regret in there, but some of it is usually more of I wish I would have, but not in a regretful way, like I missed out, but not something bad. I hope I'm making sense, y'all, because I know where I'm trying to go. trying to get y'all there. When you look back at your life, you know, at the age you are now, how many times have you said, if only, or only if? You know, and again, do you look back at that with regret? Okay, Ellie says, only if has more emphasis. Okay, so technically only if has more emphasis. So you're saying more emphasis in terms of you wish you had done it, or you wish you had done something, or you wish something had happened? Okay, in terms of regret. So, hey, Ralph, welcome. So, if I say only if, so if I were to say only if I had listened to my mother, I wouldn't have dated that guy when I was in my 20s. Yeah, my mother did tell me not to date someone, but I did. As opposed to if only I had listened to my mother, I would not have dated this guy when I was in my 20s. So, hey, Mama Bear, welcome. Let's see. We emphasize on things we lost, so we use only if. Well, he was a loser. He was a loser. Well, he was big time loser. Oh Lord, and this is where I can say if I could do my 20s over, you know. So since I wish I could do my 20s over, then I guess I should say only if, as opposed to if only I could do my 20s over. Only if I change my major in college. Okay. We have more tendency to fixate on negatives. Yes, we do. But don't you think that if only and only if could also be a positive, where again, it's something that you wish or you fantasize? Like, I've said this before, y'all. One of my things on my bucket list, I want my own private plane. Private plane. So could I say only if I had my own plane that I would be able to, or if only I had my own plane that I would be able to? I mean, isn't that an interchangeable phrase? Hey, crazy. Welcome, welcome. You know, if only I had my own plane, I wouldn't have to deal with TSA. Only if I had my own plane, I wouldn't have to deal with crazy people on the plane. You know, so I mean, I don't know, but you are right, Ellie, we do deal to fixate more on negative things with only if, and if only. And again, my if only this past weekend was a negative as opposed to a positive, because honestly, it was like, if all I can say is if only, you know, but I didn't do something. So does if only come with a consequence? Is there a consequence to that word or that phrase? If you say if only, is there a consequence that usually follows up with that particular phrase? I mean, if your child says, if only I had listened to my mother, I wouldn't have to stay in the weekend doing chores. If only I had, you know, listened to my teacher, she never would have called my parents when I did XYZ. And then I switch that up, and again I say, only if I had listened to my teacher, she would not have called my parents. So again, I say, aren't they the same? It could be possibly positive consequence. Huh. Because if someone says, okay, so if you robbed a bank and you say, if only I didn't rob that bank, I wouldn't be sitting in jail right now. That's a negative. That consequence is a negative. Okay, Blunt says, if only moments, however, then I remember the universe has a plan. Good point, Blunt, because so the universe does have a plan. If only I had met you sooner, Ralph says. So does if only, can you lump if only into the same group or the same family with karma, and things happen for a reason? Because I do believe in karma, and I do believe things happen for a reason. Karma has totally come back to me many, many times. Karma has slapped me so hard in the face sometimes I had a hard time getting up. So I said possibly because we can't predict the ramifications. True. Very true. So is if only, and I'm going to throw only if in there, are those phrases, you know, that have karma and things happen for a reason? Are all those in the same category, same family? I mean, only if could be a lesson for ourselves or others, maybe a precious advice. Huh. Well, my only ifs and my if onlys, like I said, they usually come with some type of karma attached to it. So like I said, karma has hit me many, many times. Hey, Juju, welcome. You know, it has hit me many, many times. So, you know, it's interesting because, again, I say, how many times in your lifetime have you said if only? Or even, you know, if you guys were to look back and, you know, in a month, or you were to write down how many times you said if only, or only if, would you be surprised at the amount of times that you've said it out loud, or you've thought it, you said it to someone else? Or do you think that you really don't say it that much or even think it? Ellie says, like, if I only knew my Grammy has no time to live, I would meet her. So, okay, so look at what Ellie just said. So then I would have to say, why do you Okay, you said if I only knew my granny has no time to live. Okay, so do we tend to wait? Do we have that regret because we do wait until it's too late? You know, when we don't go see someone when they're sick, when we don't reach out to someone, then something happens. If you don't talk to that person for whatever reason, and something happens to them, and we wait until the last minute to do things, when it's a life or death, why do we tend to, you know, the if onlys come out when it's too late for something? Blunt. I know. Aren't they? Oh boy, it's like serious root canal going on between those two. Yes. Let's see, repeat it. Ellie says if we repeat it in our minds, it's self-criticism and not constructive. True. But again, I say, do we say if only or only if when it's too late? You know, like they say, why do we always, you know, I'm supposed to be going to a memorial service in a couple of weeks, and you know, most of my family will be there, people I haven't seen for years and years and years and years and years, you know, and I know that if I go, I'll see them and I won't see them again for more years and years and years and years and years, you know? And there's, you know, people there who haven't seen each other for a very, very long time. So why do we wait? You know, if only I had, you know, reached out, you know, sooner, then, you know, instead of going to this memorial service, we could have gone to a reunion. But then again, I don't like reunions. I don't like some members of my family. So is it really a regret? Is it really a bad thing? And why do people, I know I'm changing the subject a little bit, but why do people tend to wait until there's a funeral or something negative to gather, as opposed to gathering when everyone was alive, including the person who's not there anymore? Are you going to, Lucy Rouse says, are you going to have, if only I kept in touch more often? You know, you're talking about when I go to this memorial service? No. 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 I mean, it's like I'll see them. It's like, you know, you'll do the hey, what's up? Oh, what are you doing? You know, whatever. You know, and then you leave, and everybody's pretty much going on with their own lives. You know, do we get caught up in our own lives so much that we do have those only if and if only moments? Well, Ralph, I'm sorry, but I am telling the truth here. So in fact, when I usually show up to things, people will say, oh, I'm surprised she came or whatever. You know, it's like I. You know, so again, you know, does if only and only if come with regret? Let's see. Ellie says it's called dead worship here. It means people do appreciate others when they see them in a coffin. Wow. No. I am Black, but no, I am the one who I am that member of the family who, I'm not the phony one. Okay, that's the only way that I can put it. I'm not the phony one. I've always been like this. It's like, you know, we would go places and my mother would say, you know, we have to, you know, go here. I'm like, why? And I would tell my mother, you don't like them. You don't like them. So why are we going? You know, so if you don't like them, then, you know, it doesn't make sense. Why are you gathering with people that you either have no connection with, nothing in common, or you don't like them? It just doesn't make sense to me. To me, that's just a waste of time and a waste of money. But that's just me. You know, will I be doing my if onlys and only ifs? No. No, you know, it is out of town. You know, so I'd be spending money to go there and come home, but it would be literally me, you know, going to a service and saying hello and leaving. So Ellie says, typically we are all black sheep. In our family's perspective. I think that's true. Ellie, I do think that's true. But I do believe that there are some people in families who some people look at, they can do no wrong. I mean, this person could be just the worst person on earth and somebody in the family will think that they are just the best person ever and they can do no wrong. Just out of curiosity, how does one know when they are not the phone, when they are not the font one? You lost me there, Ra. Hello, Rick. You lost me there, Ralph. When they're not, the phony. Okay. So how does one know when they are not the phony one? When you keep it real, when you don't deal with the BS that everyone is putting out and you're calling people out. I mean, you know, just like I said, you know, we would do things when I was younger, you know, we would do things and we would go places and, you know, my mother would say something and I would look at her, I'm like, well, that's not what you just said. You know, you just said blah 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 blah. You know, so I'm just, you know, hey Deborah. You know, so I think you can pretty much know if you're not the phony one, Ralph. I think that's kind of obvious to know. I thought maybe phony one is another form of phony. You know, so I mean, if only I hadn't have done that, maybe people wouldn't think I was so phonier. Only if I had, you know, said this, maybe people wouldn't have thought that, you know, she was so phony. I mean, you know, again, we can say our if onlys and only ifs, you know, for you know, they fit the narrative that we're trying to do. Mama Bear, I cannot make anyone call in because I don't like when people tell me to call in. If people want to call in, they can call in. I can extend the invite. And if you want to take me up on it, that's fine. If not, no worries. So I can extend the invite. You know, so I just think that we all do things to fit our narrative. But I think you can spot a phony person a mile away. You can see them coming, especially if they have a reputation for being phony. So, okay, Mama Bear. You know, so again, only if only. They're interchangeable to me, depending upon how you use it, you can make them work to be interchangeable phrases. They tend to be used for negative thoughts, whatever. You know, but I don't know. You know, so if only, only if. But y'all, quiet today. Oh, Ralph is popping up. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Solid. How are you? Sorry, I had to change devices.
No problem. No problem. So what's up?
No, just I'm just wondering where the premise came for the topic. The if only, only ifs. Was that the main theme?
Yeah. Because this weekend something happened. And I literally said out loud, if I only, you know, and I was thinking about it and I was just saying, you know, how many people, you know, go through, you know, their entire life saying this and what does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. So that's where that came from.
So I mean, yeah, is that the same as doing like the what if? Is that the same thing?
Well, I mean, is it? Is it? If you say if only, is it the same as what if? I mean, what do you think?
I guess it could be under the same category. It just could, like you said before, I think it's the same thing as trying to mold your narrative to whatever you think, right? Like, oh, my life is like this because only if I'd done this, you know, so we can do that all day. I've done it. I still do it, you know, so hard to move past that.
Ralph, okay, so when you just said, you know, if I had only done this or what if I had done this, my life would be different. Would your life really be different if you had done that? Because then would you have done something else and you would have had another what if or if only moment?
I mean, that's usually the games that we like to do in our heads, at least mine, because I think we all try to fit things in our own little box, you know, in some way. Mm-hmm. So I try to make, I don't want to say an excuse, but yeah, I guess it's an excuse, but like the example that I was telling Mama Bear, I think, or maybe I put it in the chat. If I only changed my major, you know, in college, maybe my outcome would have been different. You know, I would have gotten a career or a job that was more, you know, that is more available to, you know, to get work. So that's like, that's something that could be tangible, you know, it's like maybe it could be true, you know?
So, looking at that premise in terms of, because for my major, I was a poli sci major. I was going to be an attorney. I worked with attorneys. I didn't go to law school because by the time I got out of school, I was sick of school and I didn't want to go to school anymore, but I worked with attorneys. I am a paralegal. But when I look at what I'm doing now, it has absolutely nothing to do with my major. So Ralph, do you think that when you look at kids going to school now and their majors, whatever, do you think that in the end, say kids that are 23, 24 now, 20, 30 years from now, will they actually be working in their major, or will they be saying the same thing that you say, if only if, or what if I had changed my major, would I be doing this? Because now everybody is pretty much just, you know, making up things as they go along and opening up, you know, a business in their basement or, you know, in their kitchen or whatever. And people are pretty much doing their own thing. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, because I think that's one of those, one of the folklores that we go through, like, if you have a college degree, no matter what it is, you know, you're going to get a good paying job, or at least that's what I thought, you know, and just like a lot of other people that think that way, you know, I thought, oh, it doesn't matter. As long as I pick something that I enjoy, which at the time, which still is, I wanted to be in radio. So I figured, oh, if I get something that's remotely the same, or, you know, I got a bachelor's in communication. So I figured that would be my meal ticket to get into that industry. But that's really not the case. You usually have to do your footwork when it comes to certain things. I think school might, like, for maybe it's guaranteed for only like lawyers and doctors. You know, if you can pass the ultimate, you know, exam or whatever, going to school, that will get you to your destination. But if you have things like, I think everything else is good to be a teacher, you know. I don't know. That's what I think.
You bring up a lot of interesting points, and Blunt, was that Blunt who just said that? You said, I'm not using my degree. Sometimes following your dreams mean more. I mean, do your dreams mean more than that piece of paper that's hanging on the wall, or that is still in your drawer, or, you know, your mother has it, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, mine's in my closet somewhere.
You know, right. So, you know, I mean, so, you know, so again, it comes into the whole, you know, if only, you know, I mean, we can say that all day, but does that really, do we psychologically sabotage ourselves when we use those phrases instead of just moving on and doing something else?
I think, like I said, for me, I try to make things make sense to me, like in my world. So I will try and figure out ways of why things are the way are to what I'm, you know, what I'm surrounded with. So that's kind of I don't know if you want to say coping mechanism, or just something that I do to justify, you know, how things are, or just to play around with the what ifs. Like, man, if only I changed my degree to become an accountant, man, that's guaranteed work. Everybody needs an accountant. I would probably be working, you know, 80 hours a week right now. You know, recession, what's that? You know, no matter what time, if there's a recession or not, everybody's going to need an accountant. You know, I would still be making money. At least that's what's going through my head, you know.
Okay.
Of course, if life happens, then a different story might happen. But that's the story we tell ourselves.
Okay. Skin in the game, welcome. Thank you for waiting patiently.
Good afternoon. How is everyone?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm out in nature right now, and it's a little overcast, but the temperature's nice, and I took a long walk.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's good to be out in nature, and I take my long walks when I'm walking my dog. So.
Well, yeah, this is the place I used to walk my dogs at, and kind of sentimental, you know, because okay. I don't have them anymore. They're gone. But they lived long lives.
Well, that's good. So you want to add to this conversation the what ifs and if onlys and only ifs?
Well, I think the word that I like to use is consideration, where you take pause and you reflect and you consider. And you do it in a way that you almost meditate with it. Does that resonate with anyone?
Mm-hmm. Yes, at least for me it does.
And I find that as I've gotten older, that maybe this is a maturity thing, hopefully. You know, it probably takes a few hard knocks in life to get you there. But a lot about consideration for me is to be less judgmental and to try to understand people as if you had to walk in their shoes and then see the world sort of through their eyes as well. And then that opens up the world even larger for yourself.
Okay. All right. So let me ask this, and this is for Ralph and Skin in the game, since both of you guys are up on the panel. So let's say that you saw a homeless person and they're outside, whatever, and they ask you for some money to get something to eat. And you can look at them and see that, you know, it looks like they haven't eaten in a while, but for whatever reason, either you didn't have any money or you just pass them up, whatever. And then you find out, you know, a day or two later that this homeless person died from not eating. Would you say to yourself, if only, what if? Only if, or would you just lump it up to, okay.
You want to go first, Ralph?
Man, that's a tough one, man.
I had to stack that one, Ralph.
So yeah, that's a tough one, man. I always want to give like a good political correct answer, but, I wouldn't know exactly what that person passed away of.
You knew that it was because they didn't have enough. And not to say that that hamburger you gave him or whatever would have done something, he still would have passed away. But the fact that you knew that he asked you and you didn't, for whatever reason.
Yeah, of course, that's going to go through my mind. I'm always going to think, yeah, what if I, you know. If that day I was only in a giving mood, you know, maybe that would have done something. That's always going to go through my mind. You know, even when my father passed away a long time ago, you know, of course, when you're going through things with them, you know, you don't tend to think like, you know, this could be the last time I'd speak to them. And of course, after the fact that it happened, I'm always like, you know, man, if I only would have taken care of them, and if only I forgot about, you know, not cared so much about work, I could have been taken care of them. You know, things like that. You're always going to have those what ifs when that happened. So,
okay. Yeah. Skin?
I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, it was about 4 years ago that my whole life changed. You know, I think everybody's did right before COVID hit. And I had gone through a little bit of a rough period, and it hasn't gotten all that much better, but it's about to right now. I started giving to every person with a sign that was, please help. And, you know, sometimes my now ex-wife would be with me and she would get upset, you know, and we had plenty of money, you know. It's just like, you know, I'd hand the guy a 20 and she'd be like, 20? I'm like, we combined for well over six figures, sweetheart. Come on. Well, he's just going to go buy alcohol or drugs. I said, well, then that's on him, all right? Or her, or the family, or, you know, especially if it's a family, that I know that that's not what's going down. But the thing is, I had it to give, and it wasn't like trying to make myself feel better. It was, I just felt called to do it. Like, if you've got the cash in your pocket, give them what you can. Sometimes I didn't have a 20 and it'd be a five or it'd be a couple dollars, you know, wherever I was. And I remember one day I was sitting in a parking lot after I got out of Home Depot and this guy was standing out there, and people were just passing him by. I mean, they weren't going to give him a nickel, you know? And I was by myself, and there was an ATM and a bank machine nearby, and I just went and pulled 60 bucks out, and I went and handed it to him. And the guy just looked at me, and he goes, "Are you serious?" And I go, "Yeah." And he started weeping. And he goes, "Do you know that this is going to help me get a bus ticket to get me back to Tennessee?" And I said, "Well, I'm glad that you're going to make it home." And, yeah, there was some self-satisfaction with that. And I just knew that God was watching, and that's all that I care about. And so that's what I've been doing, you know. If I had more, I'd probably give more, but I'm working on, I'm working on pulling off that miracle of being able to facilitate the giving, you know, with accumulating monetary value. So I can, I'm not trying to buy my way into heaven either. You know what I mean? It's just that there's a lot of people hurting out there, and it's growing exponentially every day with the homeless, and especially with homeless veterans, and I'm a veteran, so, you know, my eyes are open to it now, and I don't know, it just feels like what I'm supposed to do on this earth, you know? I think there's a lot of ways to give other than money, too, by the way. Sometimes
yes, there
it's
is.
Kind words or opening a door or, you know, shaking someone's hand and looking them in the eye and giving them a smile, you know. You can give in a lot of ways, but sometimes, you know, money is a good facilitator. It can provide food, but, you know, maybe they're going to head straight to the liquor store or their dealer. You don't know. You know, that's what we want to tell ourselves so we don't have to dig into our wallet probably many times. It's an easy way to say, I don't want to participate in that because I'm going to hold on to my cash. But to each their own, that's just my personal view.
Okay. All right. Shelby, welcome. Thanks for waiting patiently.
Hello. How are y'all?
Good, good, good. So what did you want to add, my friend?
I think that, well, let's step back. Before 9/11 hit, we used to, my daughters and I, we used to give money, you know, to people that were on corners or whatnot. And then after 9/11 hit, it was very hard for me to do that. It was more of a blessing type thing. But after that, it was very hard, not for the fact of being snooty or anything like that. It was just, you know, protection wise, I guess you could say. But it was also the thought of, well, what are they actually doing with this money? So one day, we went to our little community grocery store, and there was a homeless person there. And we, as in my daughters and I, actually it was my daughters, they came to me and they were like, "There's this homeless man out there." And so instead of going and giving him money, my daughters came up with the concept of actually going and buying them like bread, you know, staple foods. And we went out there and gave it to them and everything, and they were more appreciative of that than the actual money. I don't know if the situation that this person was in, I don't know if, I mean, they didn't reek of alcohol or anything, but I think it was, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody took time out in the, of their day, you know, to think of them, you know, and to me, it, you know, some people might not, some homeless might not think of it that way, but I know this gentleman did, you know, and so you have to take that chance. It's not, you know, a lot of them are going to take it and go do whatever it is they do, but, you know, you just have to take that chance.
Okay. Can I play both sides here?
Sure. You're going to anyway.
Hey. Okay. So first of all, I do have a question. When what did 9/11 have to do with you being more cautious?
It was more of a security issue, more of a, well, I don't want to say security. It was more of a, I got to where I was scared to just talk to anybody.
I mean, did you
think especially that, anybody that I didn't know?
Okay, so I guess what I'm asking is, so 9/11 happened. Did you think that if you talked to someone, they were gonna throw a bomb or something? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being totally trying to connect to 9/11.
It was more of a situation of, I guess that's when after that, it was more of a. That's when you started hearing kidnappings and, you know, sex trafficking and all that. That's when that started more prevalent.
When the conspiracy theory started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So, all right. So let me ask this, guys, and I'm talking to everyone. Okay. Because are we not being, I mean, people want to say that if you give money to a homeless person, what are they going to spend their money on? Do they smell like alcohol? Are they going to go buy food? Or are they going to go buy drugs, whatever? But who's to say that you cannot loan money to your neighbor who lives in this really great house and they're doing this and they're not taking, you know, money that you're supposed to be loaning them, you know, and they're not going to buy drugs or going to, I mean, it's like, do we stereotype too much? And, you know, can we come back and say, well, if only I hadn't done that, then maybe, you know, I mean, because, you know, we, you know, again, when it comes to the homeless, everything, we tend to look at them, you know, before, you know, back in the day, they were called bums. Now they're homeless. And people can say, you know, well, the homeless people, you know, they live here. This state has too many, because I know, Lord, people say in California, we have too many. We have this, you know, but it's like, why do we tend to stereotype them? And a lot of homeless people who are homeless became homeless after the housing thing, you know, the housing market that was a disaster, and all the money that was given to banks and everything that was supposed to go to help people with, you know, catching up on their mortgage, but instead it went to CEOs making, you know, billion-dollar bonuses, you know, whatever. And a lot of people are on the street. So why do we look at people and automatically just think in our heads, well, if I give them a $20 bill, if I give them a $5 bill, they're going to go and buy drugs, as opposed to they're probably going to go and find a cheap place to stay for the night so they can get off the street. Or like Shelby, like you said, they're going to, you know, go and buy bread and staples so they can have it to last for the next week or whatever. So that's open to the panel, whoever wants to answer.
Well, I guess I'll jump on. The only thing I can say is that it could be a lot to do with, like, social media could be a part of it. I know there's a lot of factors, but for me, like, I'm always double thinking, because they don't, some people don't want to be seen as enablers. You know, they're probably like, man, if I keep, it's like that old saying with the horse, you know, you can't, I can't just keep, oh no, is it the horse or the fish? Anyway, I forgot which one it is. But something about you can't keep giving the guy a fish, you got to teach him how to fish or something like that.
But Ralph, but aren't we enabling family members and you know, aren't we doing that to people that we know when we keep, you know, giving them a second chance and, you know, you're allowing your kid to stay in your house even though they are stealing from you and you know they're going to buy drugs and what have you. I mean, what's the difference just because one is family and one is some guy you don't know?
Well, yeah, I mean, because you tend to think that there's more of a loyalty if it is somebody in your family or someone close to you, that you, whether you say you don't expect anything, that the universe will shine on you because of it. But going back to the social media thing, I was just saying that I've seen, and I don't know this for a fact or not, but I see a lot of these videos of people purposely recording themselves doing nice things for either the homeless or doing a situational thing where someone came out, you know, nice or benevolent and then rewarding them for doing that. So that in a way is either, you can either see it either way. Either one, are they doing it for tax benefits? They just need to prove it. Or the other way you can see it, this is another way of showing people like, hey, maybe people should be more nice because you never know when it could be something that comes out good from it. You know, I just think social media has a big part of it, one part of it, you know, but I'm sure there's other factors.
Okay.
May I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
There was so much that was just said. I mean, my goodness, this is a rich topic, a very rich topic. But for me personally, when I became a follower of Christ, and I'm not trying to shove the Bible down anybody's throat or bring too much religion into this if it offends anyone, but I really don't care. What I know is that to give in the Bible, what you give or to tithe will come back to you tenfold. So it's not for my judgment when I give to even understand or need to believe in where that money's going to go or that effort's going to go or whatever it is that I'm doing to help another person, whether it's what you want to call enabling or whatever. You just know that it's love thy neighbor, and your neighbor isn't just the guy next door or the family next door. It's everyone you meet in the world is your neighbor. And when you see the exponential growth of homelessness right now, and if you have the capability and the ability to give, and it warms your heart to do so, and you do it when no one, you know, when no one's looking, you know, I mean, that's between you and God. And then I just believe it all comes back to you. It will all come back to you. Whatever they did with the money or the favor or whatever, where your heart drives your soul, it all comes back to you. And that's my faith. And that's what I wanted to add.
Okay. All right. Shelby?
I don't think I have anything.
All right. Well, don't say I didn't ask you.
So, I know.
A lot has been said. A lot has been said. I think everyone has made valid points. Just to bring it back around. If you say if only and only if or what if, don't let that stop you from moving forward and changing it up some. Don't let, you know, a decision that you made in, you know, this year affect what you're going to do 5 years from now.
Don't become jaded.
I mean, even though we all have it at in some sense we have, but you know, just know that, you know, and I say this a lot because it is true. It is true. Life is short. Life is really, really short. I have talked to, I will talk to anybody. I don't care who they are. I will talk to anybody. And I've talked to a lot of people who are different ages, some of them older than me, some of them younger than me, have done things I never would have thought of doing, whatever. But, you know, when one thing that I ask people, you know, when people, you know, even when people do say if only and only if whatever, you know, do you regret not moving on? Like some people just get stuck. And yeah, I had my if I only moment this weekend, whatever. I'm still shaking my head, you know, but I mean, there's nothing I can do. Yesterday was yesterday. You cannot get it back. Today is today. We can still make something out of this day, whatever you're doing, whatever. And tomorrow, you have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. We can plan on tomorrow. We can plan on doing something. We can plan that vacation. We can plan on, you know, having lunch with somebody or going out and whatever. But tomorrow may not come for any of us. We may not wake up tomorrow. So
can I add a funny analogy that a Vietnam veteran told me about 4 years ago, right before COVID, when I was at the VA, about life being short?
Sure.
He said it's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
I mean, yeah. But see, but then again, you don't know when that end is. If you know... You know, if you're someone who, again, you just don't know when that end is going to be. Let's see, Crazy Lady says, and I apologize, you guys. I've been just listening to the conversation. I've been looking at the chat. I haven't been reading it. Okay, Brina says, lead a horse to water. You can't make him make him drink. Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Juju says, I knew a person who was homeless. He wanted to make people think he was homeless. He made approximately $150 a day or more, some days tax-free. Professional panhandlers. Hey, shorty and crazy lady. Somebody said something down here. Okay, Crazy Lady says, if only the world was a fair and just place, is what I'm assuming you're going to say your dad used to say. The past is gone and tomorrow never comes. We only control now and only ourselves. Two-ply Ralph wants to know. So, yeah, I mean, guys, I mean, you know, those phrases usually have, like I said at the very beginning, they're usually attached with some kind of regret. And I would say try to make it into a positive, but it's hard. I mean, I can say that for myself. Trying for me to make an if only and only if into a positive, depending upon what it was. But for some things, it is. It's a wish list, you know?
I like what you said about regret.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, we can regret so many things, you know, and
they weigh us down.
If you allow them to, because I mean, there are things that I regret. I regret, you know, now that I'm seriously, now that I'm really thinking about this stuff, I'm going back to my 20s. You know, I'm going back to my 20s, because my 20s, they were awful, you know, but they were that. I learned a lot of lessons. It was a many, many 10 years worth of teaching moments, you know, But they're gone. I mean, I regret my going with my first boyfriend. I mean, I regret some of the men that I dated, you know. You know, I regret some of the choices that I made, but guess what? They're done. They're over with. Move on. You know, so.
Did you learn from it though?
Oh yeah. That's what I said. They were a lot of teaching moments, and yes, yes, I did learn from them. And what Crazy Lady says, you know, we can only control the now and only ourselves. But even now, Crazy Lady, we can't necessarily control the now because we still don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I can plan on, you know, walking out my house later and going to the store, but I could get hit by a car. I mean, anything can happen.
God forbid.
You know, but I'm just saying anything can happen. So we wake up every morning and, you know, we should be thankful, which I am. I literally am thanking God every day, every time I wake up, because I woke up, you know, so that right there should put me in a good mood, you know, but once you open your eyes, I mean, you can fall down the stairs. I mean, anything can happen. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, whatever. I'm just saying, I just go back to the whole thing of life is short. Whether you live 100 years, whether you live, you know, a day, whether you live 50 years, whatever, we all look, when we look back at our lives, it's like it was yesterday. I look back at things that I did when I was 5. It seems like it was yesterday. But it wasn't.
Well, maybe we could wrap this up with life is a gift. And when we gift others, we enrich ourselves in our own life.
Yeah, if you look at it like that, but some people don't. I mean, I'm sorry, but some people don't. I mean, we could, but some people don't.
That's a product of society right now. Everybody
is
self-centered and convenience-driven and fearful. And
yeah.
It's unfortunate, you know. We may end up going backwards to go forwards in this new world that they're trying to push on us. And I think the common values that I think most of us grew up with, you know, kindness, thoughtfulness, you know, moving past regret and heartbreak can be very troublesome and very hard. And it has been for myself. I'm speaking from experience. It's been really rough. But, you know, I'm still believing that God's up there and he's going to help me pull off my next miracle. And that's to keep going and do something good.
And that is how we should think about how we should think about life, you know, or at least one approach to it. But guys, I need to end this because I actually have a conference call in 10 minutes. But Shelby and Ralph, I know I usually go through and say the last comments and stuff, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to take us out with an outro song. But Ralph, thank you so much. Your first time up on my panel. Thank you so much for coming up. So, and again, Shelby and Skin in the Game, thank you. So I'm going to clear the panel and we are going to go out with, what am I going to take you guys out with? I'm going to take you guys out with, hold on, Randy Crawford, One Day I'll Fly Away. So hold on here. Let me get that. All right, so here we go, y'all. One Day I'll Fly Away.
One day I'll fly away, leave your love to yesterday. What more can you?
Well, that's it, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, wherever you are in the world. I will be here tomorrow. I have not yet posted the show, but I already know what it's going to be, so I will post it. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Bye.